Intervju Radija Študent.
En lep pozdrav v RŠ Intervjuju, kjer nocoj po letu 2010 zopet gostimo znani avstrijski dunajski trio Radijan, ki so takrat leta 2010 nazadnje igrali v Ljubljani v kinu Šiška. V letošnjem letu pa so se že enkrat oglasili v Sloveniji, in sicer v Mariborskem narodnem domu. Tokrat pa nocoj nastopajo v seriji ciklu koncertov za glasbene sladokusce Defonija v klubu Gromka na Metelkovi danes ob 9. zvečer. Predtem pa se bomo pomenili z njimi o tem, kaj počnejo v zadnjem času, v njihovi zadnji plošči, ki datira v leto 2014, o menjavi postave in še čem. Predno zajadramo v pogovor z njimi, pa je tukaj skladba Saturated z njihove zadnje plošče. Tudi pozdravljam dva člana zasedbe Radijan, dva Martina, Martin Zivert in Martin Brandelmeier. Hello.
Hello.
Hello and welcome in this studio. I guess you were here the last time, 2010, when you played at Kino Šiška in Ljubljana. I think that was your last concert in Ljubljana, but you already played in Slovenia this year once, but that was in Maribor. And I've heard you had a little accident at that time on the road to the concert, that the fire went, that the car went on fire or something.
Actually, yeah, my car started going up into smoke and fire literally on the way out of Vienna.
Yeah.
Luckily, by the time the fire brigade arrived, it already had sort of stopped burning, but yeah, it was a little wild.
And today no fire, today no problems fire on the road. Okay, you are here basically first time with a new lineup or new member who is with us in studio, Martin Sievert, who is also quite known to Slovene public. Martin, you played here a lot of times with different lineup, and you also collaborated with Martin in a trio Trappist that also played in Ljubljana in recent years. So, of course, the logical question would be, how did the change of the lineup affect the working methods, the creative processes in the band and how it changed, developed the sound and where it's going now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think it had quite a big impact because, of course, you have to adjust everything. It's kind of a new system, a new system that has to be created. On one hand, on the other hand, there is some kind of radiant sound and the radiant structures that we also kept up. Mm-hmm. So also the working method somehow changed because Martin is very skilled studio producer. Mm-hmm. So we are working in his studio now, so we also changed the place, and yes, it's simply magic to watch Martin to work on his machines. It's really great. And yes, also the sound, of course, the sound of the guitar, it the sound changed, yes. Mm.
How was for you to penetrate into so-called Radian sound? Of course you knew it, you were pals, you worked together before. But.
Yeah, of course I knew it, of course I've been following the band for many years, and but yeah, it was quite a task because Radian has a very specific sound, and the guitar, Stefan Nemeth used to play a lot of guitar towards the end. Mm-hmm. And although there was already quite some guitars, it's used in a very special, more textural way than many other bands do, and also than I do in most other bands. So it was quite interesting to expose myself to that and to work into that, but still sort of play the way I play, or keep like my approach within this as well. So it's definitely also to me took some time, or took some time to try certain things, how to solve this, how to solve that, also how to switch between a more electronic approach and then some also direct guitar playing every now and then, which I think also fits very well, but has to be balanced. So yeah, it was very interesting. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, there was another thing that sort of worked maybe in the overall's favor or bigger interest in this, is that I think there was also from Jon's side, correct me if I'm wrong, a slightly more interest in a tiny little bit more of rock and roll attitude as well, or aesthetics as well. Yeah, so the distorted bass parts became more, I would say, during the time of
in writing. General, also so, wilder parts got more.
I got that feeling watching you.
Yes. But this started before, actually, I think. It was not just now the guitar influence, though sometimes it's perceived as if this derives directly from me being in the band, but I think it was a process that started before.
How do you think that the guitar sound changed the whole sound? Because I felt like when watching you on stage in Maribor, I felt like that the precision that Radian are known for is still there, but still that there is something more open and more loose in the structure and the whole sound.
Definitely. I think it has not so much to do with the instrument, with the guitar. Mm-hmm. I think it All together, we had the feeling that we wanted to find ways to open it up a bit, the system. So, but still keeping this precision and there's also the structural precision, and but within these compositions, there are parts where we are more free than, let's say, 10 years ago, and also like the dynamic of the pieces, so we still have very quiet and delicate sounds, and on the other hand, it's very, very. It can be really, really loud now. Yeah. So the dynamic is bigger now, which is really nice. So it's somehow it's also this control and getting off the control. It's quite nice.
That is one thing that changed for Radian, especially on live shows. But for the listeners who didn't experience the live show, there is another change with Radian concerning records, because your last record that came out last year was a collaboration with Javi Gelb from Giant Sand. Mm-hmm. So how this came out, and how did this kind of loosen up and complemented the structure of Radian?
This simply was fitting our development. Mm-hmm. And we met how years ago. So we played together a tour, and this was already 2005 or something. And it was a Thrill Jockey anniversary tour, and we thought it would be nice to do something together. And then years later we decided to make it happen. Mm-hmm. So this was just an idea, basically, so this is the history of it. Then Hau came to our studio 3 or 4 times, and we recorded material of his. So basically he was playing alone, mm-hmm, more than we were playing together, and we took material from him, mm-hmm, and we made pieces out of it. So we basically constructed our part around it.
Mm-hmm. But to me it sort of sounds also a bit more like closer to some other projects that you both are involved, for example Autistic Daughter and your solo, mm-hmm, work and work with other people.
Yes, so we were really, really dealing with song structures, mm-hmm, and this didn't happen with Radian before.
Yeah.
So this was really new and very challenging and very nice to do.
Do you think you will, in the future, go back to sound structure, just as Radian?
Oh yes, of course. So the next record, of course, the next record will be without singing and without collaborating with someone. We are just doing our thing.
Okay, one another change with this last record was that it's basically released on your own label. Your last 3 records were released on Chicago's Thrill Jockey label, and this is on your own label in collaboration with Trost, who is now, mm-hmm, a well-known label from Vienna, Austria. Mm-hmm. So why this change? And
this was mainly for this very project, for this, mm-hmm, special project, which for a couple of reasons was not ideal mm-hmm, for Thrill Jockey. We are in the process of finishing the next regular Radian record, and this will be released on Thrill Jockey again, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In autumn. So we are planning to have it finished by March, April will be out, autumn 2016. Mm-hmm. And we thought it's nice for special projects that we want to realize, that we might also want to realize quick or fast or very independent, to have this option or possibility to put something out ourselves. And there's other collaborations we've done, also other recorded collaborations. We played 2 shows with the Nex together, mm-hmm, with the Nex last year.
Yeah.
We have multi-tracks of both of these, and for sure something's gonna happen with that as well. And for things like this, to make like small editions, special editions, also who knows, maybe at some point we do just a 7-inch for a tour or something.
Yeah,
we wanted
yeah.
to have this option to have our own label to release something without long planning ahead, without lots of other factors involved.
Mm. And how is the experience of running your own label, releasing your own stuff in these days compared to like 10, 15 years ago? Because a lot of things kind of changed in the record industry, how the things are dealt, distributed, etc.
Since since we don't have this experience from the label head point of view from 10 years ago, it's hard to say. But we're also very lucky to work with Konstantin Dobel and with Drost Records, because basically all the distribution stuff he takes care of or took care of. So this is something we were not... didn't have to deal with setting up distribution contacts and things like that.
You already mentioned the collaboration with the Next. There were two concerts, right? And so this was this a suggestion of two big festivals involved, Tan Sounds and Music Protocol, or was this a planned collaboration
for years? So there was from Music Protocol, they were approaching us and asking us for a collaboration, and we wanted to play with the Next since a long time, and the Next with us, so this was already an idea for a couple of years, so this was ideal to make it happen. And then Unsound Festival in Krakow also wanted to do it, so yes, was really good experience to play with them.
So did you merge the two patterns or
yes,
how
so
did the collaboration work?
We were creating before we met them some modular things we could use for this collaboration, and also used it in an improvisational context then. So we were improvising with them. Yes.
So I wanted to go a bit in the past, and maybe to through the past reflect what is going on now, and going back to, I don't know, to Vienna at the time when things were really blooming up, when there was a mega label and Dritz was worldwide known place, etc. So I want to ask you, because when I was the last time I was in Vienna, I felt like that from the scene that where you are coming from, which is a quite diverse scene, it's not just rock or something or electronica, but it's merging different musical genres, activities, aesthetics, that it's kind of like, not that it's not happening anymore, but there are not so much places and things going on as before. But maybe that was just my feeling. But compared to like 15 years ago when you started, do you think anything has changed in recent years?
It's changed for sure. I wouldn't say that it's like, you know, places closed down, places opened up. So it simply changed, and I think maybe it's a little bit less of this scene idea of what you mentioned, that there is like different kinds of styles, but in one scene. So I also have the impression that this is much more opened up now. But I don't know if this is a bad thing. I have to say this.
I think there was a certain boom, and then for some time also a certain hype about electronic music in general, because somehow some people thought that electronic music was sort of invented when the laptop came up as a musical instrument, which is anyway wrong historically, but somehow in the mid-90s there was like this boom, and indeed a lot of people doing interesting things with the thing, not just in Vienna, but also in Vienna. And in Vienna, I think what was special and what is different now is that there was a lot happening, and actually not from the academic side of things, but it was really more pop musicians using the thing for super creative reasons, purposes. The whole Mego label and what Christian Fennis did, most of these had a rock and roll or industrial or techno background. Mm-hmm. This was in the beginning not so many new music people, and also not so many improvisers involved.
Yeah,
this came a little later, and then there were close ties obviously to the Polwechsel and scene, or the whole scene deriving from the Franz Kogelmann tradition of sort of reductionist jazz or something, tone art and these sorts of things. But what happened in the mid-90s was something that was basically still a subculture, counterculture, pop music movement, and not an academic thing. And this had changed then, and later on, I would say. And because in the mid-late 90s you really had, this was the hot thing.
Yeah.
The whole film scene, the whole whatever, other artist scenes, they all came to Picnic mit Hermann or to festivals that did really rough, abstract electronic music. It was hip, it was cool. Yeah, this sort of, at some point it wasn't as cool anymore, also because there was a lot of repetition on the one hand side, and then because other things became hip and cool and so on. So the public attention got less on it. And this goes for the pop electronica, that was sort of a slightly different scene, but the whole Gruder Dorfmeister, G-Stone and so on, Patrick Pulsinger, I think, just as well. This was had a lot of attention and worldwide success, amazing success in the mid-90s and late 90s. And yeah, this also got a little more normal, I would say. So, and yeah, sure, now these days it has been done, the music has been done, and the festivals have had their showcases with various types of electronic music. So I think it's also natural that these sort of things, they come in waves. And but what's a little sad is that you sometimes get the feeling that also curators and the more academic side of things were more interested in the hype than they were in the actual musics. But yeah, this is, I think, how it is. But in general, the places to play, I wouldn't even say that that we've lost so many in Vienna. The places, most of them are still there, but the money is getting less, definitely, definitely. And there's much more on, basically taken back to the shoulders of the artists. This starts with the labels.
Yeah.
15 years ago, we had at least 4 or 5, probably more if we take in the more dance-oriented electronic labels, even more. Labels that were run professionally and that had really worldwide success. You walk in Tokyo or in New York in a good record store, you could not just get G-Stone stuff, you could get Mego stuff, you could even get Durian and Charisma stuff.
Yeah.
This is gone. The labels are gone. Everybody, Mego, by the way, in a different form, but he survived as the only one, but all the others are non-active anymore.
Radian came out of this movement, but in fact it was also kind of joined in or put in, not by themselves, in the movement that was worldwide known as post-rock. So do you think how this affected the band, the popularity at that time?
Yes,
because now the post-rock is something different than what it meant at that time.
No, I mean, for me, this was a very simple and very clear shift when we changed our label.
Yeah.
So our first record was a Viennese label, second record was a Viennese label as well. And then the third record was Thrill Jockey.
Yeah.
And Thrill Jockey is one of the post-rock labels. And since then, we were like in the post-rock, post-rock community.
Though it's also, with Thrill Jockey, thinking about it, it's basically one band that's considered post-rock. And
there are a couple, but
there's also things like Mouse on Mars or whatever on Thrill Jockey that are not post-rock, whatever they are.
But even Mouse on Mars was put into post-rock.
So after the end of these big movements, you know, what lies ahead of Radian? You mentioned new record in 2016.
Yes.
So
this is the next thing we are intensely working on. our new record.
And do you play any of it, the stuff that you worked on the record already live?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it's, I would say, more than half of the pieces we play tonight will be new.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, yes, maybe the half. Yes.
Good new side of Radian tonight.
Yes. And then let's see what happens with this next material. This would be the next thing we would work on.
Do you also plan then maybe joint tour of the two groups?
Yes, this would Europe be fantastic. And, yeah. Mm. Yes, we would love to.
Good. Well, thank you for stopping by briefly in our studio.
Thank you for having us.
Looking forward to the concert later on. Tole je bil krajši intervju z zasedbo Radien oziroma dvema članoma Dunajskega trija, ki nocoj nastopa v seriji Defonija v klubu Gromka na Metelkovi. Bodite tam okoli 9. ure zvečer.
You are perfect angel.
You got that right.
You are perfect angel.
You got that right.
You are perfect angel. Perfect angel.
Intervju Radija Študent.